The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 8th, 2022. The commentary for this week was written by Patricia Marks, an ordained Episcopal deacon in the Diocese of Georgia, after she retired from teaching English at Valdosta State University. We begin with the commentary for Monday, August 8th. It begins as follows, from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And now the author writes, "How can these things be?" That is a question we might have asked in Bible study class. Our leader, a knowledgeable and understanding priest, welcomed questions both foolish and wise. We were like Nicodemus, sitting in the presence of spirit and knowledge, daring to say what we felt. Eventually, we went our separate ways, but the class profoundly affected each of us. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night and asked important questions, learned firsthand about God's presence. We came to class and, in learning to be honest and open in our questions, found a guide to enlightenment. Later in life, when Nicodemus faced hostile crowds, he dared to advocate listening to Jesus and ultimately to help Joseph of Arimathea with Christ's burial after the crucifixion. I pray that the wind of the Spirit may blow upon us today as we follow in Nicodemus's footsteps. Let's read the entire verse here of the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The moving forward question for this day is, how do you find a way to gather with others to study Scripture and ask questions? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 9th. It begins as follows, from John chapter 3, verses 29b to 30. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Years ago, I was privileged to join a research seminar, says the author. It was taught by a well-known scholar. Although he had written numerous books and articles, what mattered to him was not his own prestige, but rather sharing knowledge and encouraging us to become scholars in our own right. Another participant invited me to contribute to an essay collection, and my new research path began. The seminar was, for me, life-changing. These scholars followed in the footsteps of John the Baptist by putting others first. More important than being revered as the baptizer, John the Baptist rejoices that the bridegroom, Christ himself, has come. Like John, we, the students, are called to serve by forgetting our own status. We are asked to roll up our sleeves and become teachers, helping others to see the true Christ by rejoicing in the one who gives the Spirit without measure. In so doing, we are invited to eternal life. Now let's read from John's book, chapter 3, verses 22 to 36. This is Jesus and John the Baptist. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because water was abundant there and people kept coming and were being baptized. John, of course, had not yet been thrown into prison. Now a discussion about purification arose between John's disciples and a Jew. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted his testimony has certified that God is true. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. The moving forward question for this day, do you celebrate the success of others or worry that their bright light might dim your own? Now let us turn to the commentary for Wednesday, August 10th. It begins as follows from the book of John, chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Whenever I take a nearby shortcut, I pass a man in torn jeans sitting on the curb. He holds a sign that says, "I am hungry." I have given him sandwiches, directions to the soup kitchen, and dollar bills. Rain or shine, he is there. Perhaps he is a veteran who has seen too much conflict. Maybe he is on drugs or has a medical condition. I wish he could drink of the living water that Jesus embodies and have a taste of something far better than the soda I hand him as I pass. As Jesus promises the Samaritan woman, those who drink of the water that I give or will give them will never be thirsty again. More than a waterfall, more than a river, this water is gushing up to eternal life. We are like that woman, like that homeless man. Our past does not matter. What counts is that we reach out with beggar's hands and accept the living Christ as Spirit and truth. And now from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 1 to 26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. But what you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. The moving forward question for this day, how does the living water change the way you care for others? Now here's the commentary for Thursday, August 11th. It begins as follows from John chapter 4, verses 32 to 34. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. When Jesus told the disciples he had food they knew nothing about, they were confused. Traveling constantly as they did, they must have been hungry all hours of the day. Had Jesus been hiding a sandwich, a pocketful of grapes? If so, why didn't he share? While the disciples are focused on the material needs of the world, Jesus reminds them that they offered the food of comfort and healing to rich and poor. For Jesus, the hunger to do God's will is more powerful than physical hunger, since living out God's word provides spiritual nourishment for themselves and others. We too are called to follow God's will by reaching out to feed everyone with the good news of the gospel. The fields are always ripe for harvesting, and we are surrounded by those hungering to know about God's love. Like the disciples, we too will be fed the fruit of eternal life by the Savior of the world. And now the full reading of John chapter 4, verses 27 to 42. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and you see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. And the moving forward question for today, who are you feeding with the good news of the gospel? The commentary for Friday, August 12th, begins as follows from John 4, verses 46b to 47. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. When our friend's wife developed Alzheimer's, he devoted his life to making hers seem normal. He dressed her in her favorite clothing and brought her to church. He cooked her favorite meals and watched over her night and day. Caring for her gave him the comfort of showing his love. Like my friend, the royal official whose son was ill faced a heartbreaking situation. So the wealthy aristocrat and father does something extraordinary. He approaches Jesus and asks a favor. Even though Jesus has no home, no purse, not even an extra pair of sandals. The royal official receives a gift even greater than he requested. "Go, your son will live." Those joyful words come true in an even deeper sense. Jesus heals not only the son, but also the official's whole household, they believe. May our love for others open our hearts to the gift of life that Jesus offers to all who turn to him. Now I'm going to read from John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Jesus returns to Galilee. When the 2 days were over, he went from that place to Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in the prophet's own country. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the festival, for they too had gone to the festival. While the disciples are focused on the material needs of the world, Jesus reminds them that they offered the food of comfort and healing to rich and poor. For Jesus, the hunger to do God's will is more powerful than physical hunger, since living out God's word provides spiritual nourishment for themselves and others. We too are called to follow God's will by reaching out to feed everyone with the good news of the gospel. The fields are always ripe for harvesting, and we are surrounded by those hungering to know about God's love. Like the disciples, we too will be fed the fruit of eternal life by the Savior of the world. And the moving forward question for this day is, when have you received far more than you asked for or expected? Thank God for the bounty and blessing. Now we'll turn to the commentary for Saturday, August 13th. It begins as follows from John chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.' My mother taught me many rules about how to be safe in the city," the author says. "Look both ways before crossing the street. Avoid eye contact with strangers. Keep your hand on your wallet." These rules became so ingrained that they seemed like normal behavior. When the Jews chastised the man for breaking the Sabbath by carrying his mat, they followed deep-seated rules of Mosaic law prohibiting work of all kinds. But life intervenes for them and us. What if, as we leave for church, our neighbor falls? Or our child develops a fever? The list is endless. Do we choose to follow the letter of the law or reach out and help? Jesus, who healed the man, had a simple answer. "My Father is still working, and I am also working." The work of loving is the one rule that supersedes all others. It is the rule that heals us. May Christ give us the courage to take up our mats and walk in his footsteps. And now from John 5, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has 5 porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It's the Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man that said this to you?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. The moving forward question, have you ever had to choose between following the law or caring for another? What did you decide? Now the commentary for Sunday, August 14th, from Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Years ago, we visited out-of-town friends and heard an inexperienced preacher tackle this very verse. Afterward, the congregation, restless and uncomfortable, left hurriedly. At home, our husbands walked outside with the children, and my friend and I talked about the gospel while making lunch. What finally brought all of us peace was sitting down to a meal and breaking bread together. In truth, there is division everywhere. We can see the storm and feel the heat, but we do not always sense God's presence. Christ brought division between those who saw who he really was and those who didn't. Some were healed, others sought to take his life. The good news is that even division can bring unity. The fire of discussion can make us rethink our actions and opinions if we open our hearts and minds. Jesus shows us that God's presence was with him, even on the cross. His presence is with us, too, always. The moving forward question for today, in a world that seems increasingly divided, how does this verse speak to you today? Can you see hope in division? Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program of readings and commentary next week, from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.